Let us go ahead and have a word of prayer. And I came across this prayer by Zwingli from the 16th century. So I'm going to pray this prayer. Please pray with me. Almighty, eternal, and merciful God, whose word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, open and illuminate our minds that we may purely and perfectly understand your word, and that our lives may be conformed to what we have rightly understood, that in nothing we may be displeasing unto your majesty, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So we've been looking at the book of Genesis, and we've studied Adam and Eve, and we've studied Cain and Abel, and we've looked at a number of things, even Noah last week when Colin preached, Pastor Colin when he preached. And in all of these things, that these accounts that we have looked at in Genesis, we have seen Jesus rise to the top. And of course, no matter where we go in Scripture, it is all about Jesus. And we focus upon Him and we make much of Him. We proclaim Him and we'll continue to proclaim Him to the ends of the earth. Amen? And so we see Jesus and we look to Him and we hold Him up. But at the same time, even as we see that Jesus is greater than Noah and Jesus is greater than Seth and Jesus is greater than Abel and Jesus is greater than Adam, even as we see Jesus greater than all of these people who had faith, the Scripture still turns to these folks like Noah and holds up their faith for us to emulate. And my encouragement this morning, even as we consider that our lives have been transformed by Jesus, even as we consider that, my encouragement today is that we will live lives of faith to God because of what Jesus has done in our lives. So, that's where we're going to emphasize today. As we consider that, I am going to talk about Noah, if you can't tell from my picture, right? I'm going to talk about Noah again. I got to fix Pastor Collins' message from last week. I just got to fix it all up. No, I'm just kidding about that. It was a great sermon, and I just really appreciated him. Thank you, Colin, for that. I'm going to talk about Noah, and I'm also going to talk about Jesus returning. Do you believe that Jesus is coming back soon? Jesus is coming back soon. Now, when Jesus came the first time, He came in meekness. He came in humility. He allowed Himself to be crucified, and on the cross He took all our sins upon Him because He was here in humility. When He comes again the second time, and He is coming soon, He is not going to come in meekness, but He is going to come in judgment. It is a judgment in the face of wickedness that pervades the whole earth. You can look anywhere in our world today, and there is wickedness, there is sinfulness, there is just this horrible thing going on in the hearts of mankind all across the world. Amen. And when He comes, He is coming in judgment. Now I'm going to want you to turn in your Bibles to two passages. I'm going to read from these two chapters throughout the message. The first one is Genesis 6. So turn your Bibles to Genesis 6 and turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Now, I usually make it easy for you guys. You know, you can just look at the verses on the screen. You don't even have to bring your Bibles anymore. So today you have to have your Bible. I guess I should have sent out an announcement. Bring your Bible to church on Sunday, folks! That's pretty obvious, right? I think so, anyway. All right, so turn to Genesis 6 and turn to Hebrews 11. Oh, and you'll need to turn to Matthew 24 and 2 Corinthians chapter 6. All right, so you need four fingers, okay? Genesis 6, Hebrews 11, Matthew 24, and 2 Corinthians 6. So, you know, it works like this. There you go, all right? Four fingers. All right, I'm just teasing you guys. The first passage is Genesis chapter 6, verses 13 and 14. Both of these passages I'm going to read from Genesis 6 and Hebrews 11 are about Noah. We're talking about Noah. It says in Genesis 6, verses 13 and 14, "And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch." Now in Genesis 6, I read 13 and 14, and continuing on in verse 15, God goes into an elaborate and detailed description of how Noah was to build the ark. It's pretty extensive. But that's the heart of it right here in verses 13 and 14. Make yourself an ark. And then, jumping over to Hebrews 11, verse 7, we find kind of the same verse. It says in Hebrews 11, 7, by faith Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. So those are our two primary verses this morning. And that brings us to our first point. Resist complacency. A call to righteous living. A call to righteous living. Now, when the time of Noah had come, people were living their lives. They were pretty bad people, it says. It says in Genesis 6:13 again, that the earth was filled with violence. That word violence means extreme wickedness. I mean, it was not a pretty place on the earth back then. And they were sinning their sins as they lived their normal lives. And God saw that the heart of man was bent to evil continually. And because of that, he was going to bring judgment upon it. And the call to Noah to build this ark stood as a testimony in condemnation of the way the world was living. They were not living the kind of life that God wanted them to live. And so he comes to Noah, who is the one who has faith. He is the primary one who had faith. He was God's man that God had raised up for this particular purpose. God had come to Noah, told him to build this ark, and in the building of the ark, he stood in condemnation of the wickedness that went on all around him. Noah was righteous, and everyone else was not. What a contrast there. Now, Jesus comments on this passage, or on this account from Noah. And he says this about it, and it's a little unusual concerning, you know, we're talking about the flood and wickedness in the world and deliverance from them. But Jesus talks about it from a different kind of angle, and we'll get to that in a moment. But listen to Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 and 39. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Now Jesus is talking about his own coming, the return of Christ. And we said a moment ago that we believe that he is returning soon. And because he is returning soon, and because of this connection to Noah, there is a link between what Noah was doing back then when he built the ark and what we ought to be doing today as we prepare for his return. Now, 2 weeks ago when I preached last, I talked about common grace. Common grace is the grace that God gives to all mankind. It is the blessing that he just pours out on all people, regardless of whether they're righteous or unrighteous, whether they're good or they're wicked, it doesn't matter. God's common grace is extended to everyone. We read a passage in Matthew that says that he causes the rain to fall on the righteous and on the unrighteous. He causes the sun to rise upon all of the earth. This is God's common grace. And people continue to live their lives. We all live our lives under this common grace of God. God is so good, isn't he? He blesses us far more than we deserve to be blessed. He punishes us far less than we deserve to be punished. He is merciful. He is gracious. And I love that passage from Exodus that Pastor Colin referred to last week. It was just great. The Lord is long-suffering. And so God was long-suffering in the days of Noah. The people during the time of Noah were living under the common grace of God. Listen again. It says in Matthew 24, verse 38, In those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. There is nothing wrong with eating and drinking and getting married. As a matter of fact, I would encourage every one of you to eat and drink every day if possible. These are common activities that we should engage ourselves in. That's what they were doing in the time of Noah. And there was nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with marrying. As a matter of fact, I would encourage you to get married. I say that, you know, with humility, because I understand it's not always easy. But I say that because we're living in an age where marriage is kind of going out the door. People are not getting married anymore, and people are not staying married anymore, and people don't care about marriage anymore. It's just a traditional old thing that we don't have to do anymore. Well, I don't agree with that at all. So it is one of those things that God has instituted. They were engaged in, we should be engaged in this kind of a thing. This is the common grace of God. So they were living their lives, and they were living their lives in such a way that when the flood came, it struck them unaware. They were taken by surprise. They did not know that it was going to come, even though they should have known, and even though they had every opportunity to know. They were caught unaware when the flood came and swept them all away. And this is what we want to kind of stand up against, because we're not facing a flood, but this world today is facing the return of Jesus. And so this passage in which they were eating and drinking, let me read the larger context here, and you'll see what Jesus was talking about when he was talking about the people in Noah's time that they were eating and drinking. It says, Matthew 24:36, "But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only," talking about his return. "For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. Therefore stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have left his house to be broken into. Therefore you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not expect." And so the encouragement that Jesus gave is that just in the days of Noah there was a flood coming and they were unaware. So there is coming a day when the Son of Man will return, and you do not need or should not be caught unaware, but be looking, be ready for his return. We want to be like Noah. He was preparing for that day that was coming. We don't want to be like everyone else in Noah's day that was going on their merry way. He had a faith that distinguished him from the rest of the world. He had a view of God. He believed in God, and because of his faith in God, he was preparing and he was ready when the day of judgment came. And it distinguished him from everyone else. Noah was alone, and he stood apart from everyone else. And while Noah toiled day and night, and I believe for 120 years, as he toiled through all of those years building that boat, everyone else carried on in their normal way of life. And that was their downfall. It wasn't that they were doing wrong things, eating and drinking. It was that they were doing these normal things without paying attention to him. And that is the distinguishing factor. For I guarantee you that Noah was eating and drinking also during those years. But he was living his normal life with an eye on God because of his faith. And so Noah built the boat, and everybody else went on their merry way. They worked, they ate, and they married. And so we come to our own lives and our own relationship with Jesus Christ, and the question is, where is our faith? Let us be ready while the world is eating and drinking and carrying on in their merry way. Let us do the things that we have to do, but with an eye on him. Let us do the work that he has called us to do while looking to Jesus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, let me read this passage. And it is a call that Paul makes to the Corinthian church to be holy. It is a call that is fitting for us. He says, it says in 2 Corinthians 6:11, O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. In other words, Paul hasn't held anything back. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now, in return for the same, I speak to you as children, you also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now, let me stop there for a moment. He's using this passage, and usually it's used in connection with, well, a believer should not marry an unbeliever. They're unequally yoked. And I think that that's part of it. But it is so much more than just, you know, the kind of person that you should marry. This is about the kinds of engagements that you have in your life. What fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? And so on. This is about all of life. What have we to do, O Christian, with the world? There ought to be a distinction. Why? Because God dwells in us. So what, am I going to take God with me as I drag him through the filth of this world? No, that should never be. All right, so he goes on. He says, I will dwell in us. He will dwell with us and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, and here's the exhortation in all of that, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean and I will receive you. I will be a father to you and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And so this is a call to a holy life. We are Christians, and because we are Christians, we are to be different than the rest of the world. We are to be holy. So, Noah, when he heard what God planned, responded. Hebrews 11:7, again it says, by faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear. In other words, when God said it, it moved him. When God said it, he took it to heart. He didn't ignore it and he says, oh yeah, I know. I have to deal with these dumb people every single day and they're just so difficult to talk to and they won't listen to me. And I try to tell them about you, but they don't care. If it works for you, then that's great. If it doesn't, then, you know, it doesn't. He didn't have this lackadaisical response to the message of God. When God said that when God warned that he was going to come and judge her, he was moved with reverent fear. The word in reverent fear is one in Greek, and it has the idea of awe. He stood in awe of God. He stood with this respect and this awe of what God had said that he dared not ignore. It. He did not want to disappoint God who had come to him and given him a task to do. And so he, in reverent fear, constructed the ark. And the idea is of an ongoing process here. He continually humbled himself. He continually submitted himself to the task that God had given him to do, to build the ark. And it took a long time. 120 years he spent building the ark. Some of us have trouble doing the same thing for 10 minutes. Especially in this day of mobile technology, right? I've shared this before, but I remember I grew up with shows that I liked, like the $6 Million Man, and Anthony, you like that show too? And other shows like that. It was like the story was developed, you know, through the hour episode. But nowadays, it's like there's a 5-minute segment, and this is the person that's guilty. And then it switches to the next 5-minute segment. No, it's this person who's guilty. And then it goes to the next 5-minute segment. No, this is the next. And it's like you're just kind of bouncing around through the whole show. Because otherwise, we're going to get bored and turn the thing off. But that is our day. We don't have this ability to concentrate, and we don't have this ability to focus. We're just all over the place. And by the way, if you have trouble reading for more than 5 minutes, I would encourage you to do it for 5 minutes, and do it for 5 minutes every day, and then the next week go up to 6 minutes, and go up to 7 minutes, and then go up to 8 minutes, and go. It's like your brain is like a muscle that you got to exercise. If you just say, well, you know, I can't, I'm not a good reader, or I'm not good at that, well, you know, you got to work on it. You got to build up that muscle. That's one of the only muscles I have left that I can work on now, you know. It's just, you got to work on it. Anyway, God told him, God warned him, and God instructed him to build the ark. And he went to his task, and he did it faithfully, year after year after year. And that's where we want to turn now. Now, by the way, as we resist being complacent in this world, now, we're going to eat and drink, we're going to marry and be given in marriage, we're going to do all of the normal things. But remember, in all of these normal things that we do, remember to fix your eyes upon Jesus and to do them in the context of the task that he has given you. There isn't a believer in here who hasn't been called to live for him and to serve him in some way. It was great to come out yesterday and to see so many of you decorating. And like Pastor Colin said, there were some of you have been working for a long time. I mean, Court and Susan have been building a lot of these things. For months they've been working on them. And that's just amazing. That's how... Now, if I had to do the constructing of the decorations, I might have something like this that I don't even have to construct. I just go to the store and buy it, because that's me. I'm just not that artistic kind. So it's not for me to do that task. I have other tasks to do, and that's the point. You have your task, and 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 we all have been given areas in which we are to serve. And let us do what God has called us to do, regardless of what that is. Let us do that faithfully. Let us be faithful in that, in fixing our eyes on Jesus. And so that's kind of the second point here. Construct your ark, the pursuit of faith and righteousness. Now, this is the main point of these verses on Noah. Let me point this out again. God said to Noah, this is Genesis 6:13. God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy the earth. Therefore, make yourself an ark. This is happening. Therefore, make the ark. Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed the ark. That's it. Judgment is coming. Therefore, build the ark. That was his task. God gave it to him. Build the ark. He obeyed that call in the face of a wicked world. And contrary to what the world thinks, there is a certain faith that the believer must have when doing our tasks. So, it says in Hebrews 11:7 again, by faith, Noah, when warned, built the ark. By faith, Noah, when warned, built the ark. by faith. Now, Noah was a righteous man. You'll notice a few verses back in Genesis 6, verses 8 through 9. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Now notice, that reference to genealogy is important because we had just read the genealogies in Genesis 5. And there was one particular person in Genesis chapter 5 who stood out. His name was Enoch. And what was he known for? Enoch walked with God. You remember that? Y'all remember that? That's what stood out in the genealogies of chapter 5. Enoch walked with God, and God took him. Listen to this again. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. It's not an accident. Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. We are to walk with God. Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 14. This verse is kind of an unusual passage, but listen to what it says. Ezekiel 14, 14. Even if these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they would deliver only themselves by their righteousness, says the Lord. What a testimony for Noah and Daniel and Job. A few verses later, Ezekiel 14, 20. Even though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, says the Lord God, they would deliver neither son nor daughter. They would deliver only themselves by their righteousness. That's how great of a guy Noah was. That's how righteous Noah was. And he stands out as an example. And we are to have that faith that Noah had. That's what Hebrews 11 is for. It goes through the entire Old Testament, and it says, he had faith, and he had faith, and he had faith, and he had faith, and he had faith. And it's given to us like that because we are to look at these witnesses of faith, these people who gave testimony of faith, and we are to be exhorted to have the same kind of faith as they did. So when Noah, Hebrews 11, 7, by faith Noah, being warned by God concerning things unseen, he constructed the ark. And you know, it's kind of, you know, there's a question as to what is meant here. Was there no rain back then, or did they not know of a flood, or, you know, what does it mean that he was warned of things unseen? But it doesn't matter in the end, because Noah was told to do something, and he did it even though it did not make any sense to him. That's what faith is often about. It is contrary to what we think. It is contrary to what the rest of the world does and thinks. Faith will often take us out on a limb as far as the world goes. But it is always grounded in God, no matter what. And so we can look at the circumstances of our life and we say, Lord, why this? Why did this happen? Why do I have to go through this? Why? And we question because we don't understand. But that's like being warned of things yet unseen. We, in a sense, we don't understand everything that's happening in our life, and yet God requires us to have faith. Our faith is not based on our understanding. That helps a lot of times, but we are to have faith in God, who is of great character and who does great things and who has called me, for whatever reason, I can't figure that one out. But he has called me to him, and I must have faith, regardless of how it looks, all around me. And so have faith in God, like Noah did, and build your ark. Now that's a metaphor, and I usually hate metaphors, but I'm telling us all to build our arks today. And do it with godly fear. We're not to do it to receive attention. We're not to do it so that things work out for us in the end. We're not to do it for any of these self-centered reasons. We're to do it because he called us to do it. And we're going to serve him no matter what, right? That's what faith is all about. Serving God, no matter how it appears to you. Have this fear of God. Have this respect for God. Have humility before Him. Do the task that He has given to you in faith. Build your ark. When Noah was building his ark, judgment loomed against the world. And I'll tell you what, judgment looms against this world right now. And back then, Noah was alone. But today, hey, look, just in this room, look at the arks that we can build. There's not just one ark. There's 100 of arks going up all around. Because we are all standing in the same faith as Noah. And so I'm building my ark in this world, and you're building your ark, and we're all building our arks. And it becomes a greater testimony in this world than in the days of Noah. Judgment is looming against the world today because sin is rampant and because the thoughts and the intents of the heart is towards evil continuously. And I tell you what, you don't have to go but a day before you see some expression of sin and evil in this world. So let us not live complacently. Let us not go on in our lives taking our eyes off of God, but let us do everything with our eyes fixed on Him. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 10:31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink, there's the eating and drinking again. That must be really important to us for some reason, right? Yeah, I'm hungry. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Amen. Do all to the glory of God. Everything. That's the difference. Everybody was eating and drinking, but Noah was looking to God and doing His work. So let us do the same thing. What is it that He has called you to do? Do it unto Him and only to Him. You say, Pastor, I don't know what God has called me to do. Well, that's fair. A lot of times I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing either. Just take the next step. God, I don't know where I'm going or what I'm doing, but I'm going to take this next step and I'm going to trust that You are going to guide me in it. And so you take it in faith. Whew, thank You for getting me here. Yes, got 2 steps under my belt. All right, I better move back over here because I got 2 minutes left, so I'm going to make sure I use it all. But that's what it means. Just have faith in Him, trust in Him. Whether you're eating or drinking, do all for the glory of God. Do all for the glory of God. Keep your eyes upon Him and build your ark. Notice why Noah built the ark. And this is kind of interesting too. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. Now that might seem pretty selfish there, or self-centered, or just kind of, you know, this is my circle, we're going to be okay. But there's something to that. Look, we all have families, and we all have relationships, and we all have this place in this earth. I keep saying, because I'm bewildered by it, here we are in little old West Virginia. Can you believe it? I'm from Florida. I can't believe I'm here still. But here I am, and here you are, and we're all here. And this is where God has put us, and that makes all the difference. That makes all the difference. He has put us here. He has called us. So, let us build our lives, building this ark. I mean, Jesus is the ark. We learned that last week. Let us build our life around Jesus, the ark of deliverance. So be a godly husband and wife. Be a godly parent. Be a godly child. Have a good testimony among your neighbors and your co-workers. Be godly in this world and be a preacher of Jesus. Now, while Noah built the ark for 120 years, it says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, if God did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, with 7 others, that's his family, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. It calls Noah a preacher of righteousness, a proclaimer of righteousness. every plank of wood that he cut out. He was declaring, a flood is coming. Repent. Every nail that he hammered the wood to other woods, he was building a testimony. A flood is coming. And as the ark grew up out of the ground, it was a greater testimony because everybody could see it. It was a witness. A flood is coming. Judgment is coming. And this was his message that he proclaimed. Judgment is coming. A flood. Judgment is coming. This is the boat, the ark of deliverance. Repent of your sins and come in. He preached this over and over and over again. And you know, we have the same testimony today. We have the same message today. Judgment is coming. A fire this time. Judgment is coming. Jesus is the ark of deliverance. Repent and come on board. And so every time we clean up our words, every time we clean up our acts, every time we strengthen our relationships, every time we do what is right, we are building another layer of the ark. And our lives become a greater and greater testimony in this dark world that judgment is coming. And as they see this ark of our lives built in Jesus, as they see that, they have the opportunity as well to repent and to come on board. And I am so thankful, I am so grateful that God called me out of the horrid, sinful world and saved my soul. The greatest miracle of all. And so as we go forward, let us build the ark of our lives around Jesus. Let others see Christ in you in the way you live. Let others hear Christ in you in the words that you speak. And let us give testimony to our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to have a time of prayer here, so if you want to come up or if you have a spiritual decision to make, come on up and you all know the routine and I'll pray with you if you have a prayer need.